Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Always a pleasure as we head to the Stanley Fence and Gates hotline to say hello to our good friend Dr. Jerry Punch as he joins us for the next hour. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. New Balance Knoxville, still answering the phone. They can deliver or they are offering curbside pickup. If you're a current customer, they have your shoe size and information in their computer, so it makes ordering your new shoes, athletic apparel seamless and as easy as possible. And, of course, Doc Punch, great to talk to you. But New Balance Knoxville, here to lend a helping hand, as so many are at this point in time. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. I hope you are, and hope everyone, our listeners, are doing well. Everyone is doing our part to stay home and be smart and make a difference. And even if you're home, obviously, where you live, where I live, I know, John, you're an avid walker. You and Penny get out and walk, and I know we all have. And in our neighborhood, we see a lot of couples. And I guess the positive for me for what we're dealing with this quarantine and stay home order is that we see a lot of families that get out and walk together. And the folks at New Balance of Knoxville can take care of all your needs. You want to get out and walk, you want to do something more aggressive, but you know, whatever, jog a little bit. They can take care of that. You can be comfortable and you can be perfectly fit. And they, I love the fact that. That they're doing their part as well to make sure that we're all are as comfortable as possible while we are doing our best to stay home and to stay away and try to prevent the spread of this COVID-19.
Well, we, of course, look forward to your questions or comments for Doc Punch, 656-9900, 656-9900. And, Doc, you've got some news for us. Is it the IRL, Indy Racing League, that's got some news?
Yeah, the NTT IndyCar Series just sent out a few minutes ago an update that for their schedule in 2020, and what they're trying to do is obviously they are trying to stay close on what's happening with all the healthcare issues, and they're looking at states that have been hard hit, where there have been in terms of where they believe they can go and what they're predicting what's going to happen. So it's a good news anyway. They're spinning it forward and saying, okay, here's our schedule for the remainder of the year. And what they've done, they've gone from 15 races, I'm rather from 14 races, what they put out initially, to 15 races. They're actually going to do away with the doubleheader at Belle Isle in Detroit at the end of May because of the fact that that's a city park. And with everything that they've gone through in downtown Detroit, there's too little time to be able to get everything set up for that. It just puts too much of a strain on that city, and they're going to be back there in 2021. But what that means is that the IndyCar Series is going to add a doubleheader at Iowa in July. So they'll start back at Texas Motor Speedway on June 6th on the 1.5-mile oval there. They'll go to Road America on June 21st and Richmond on June 27th. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course, that's part of a triple-header weekend on July 4th with NASCAR. NASCAR will have their Xfinity Series on Saturday. That race will be after the IndyCar race on the road course. And then on Sunday, July 5th, there will be the Brickyard 400. And then IndyCar will go to the streets of Toronto in July. There will be a doubleheader in Iowa on July 17th and 18th on Saturday and Sunday. They'll go to Mid-Ohio on July on August 9th, and then Indianapolis 500 pole qualifying and second day qualifying on August 15th and 16th. The 104th running of the Indianapolis 500 on August 23rd. They'll go to Gateway in St. Louis on August 30th, out to Portland on September 13th, and then there's a doubleheader they've just added at Laguna Seca, beautiful Laguna Seca. It was called WeatherTech Raceway out there on Saturday and Sunday, September 19th and 20th. And they're going to run a third race. Hasn't been done before. They're going to run a third race this season, and it'll be October 3rd at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the road course on October 3rd. And there's a chance they'll go back and finish the season on the streets of St. Petersburg. Boy, how pretty that would be in October. So what a schedule. They basically have come out and said, here's a schedule now, 15 or 16 races. Originally, there were just 14. They've added the doubleheaders, and they've added a third race at Indianapolis. So it's got to make the folks at IndyCar and Open Wheel, you know, feeling pretty good about the fact that the plans are being made now to come out of the backside of this, hopefully when we're beyond this and behind this, if we all do our part. And we can get back on course, no pun intended, with open-wheel IndyCar racing.
Doug, do you think NASCAR is looking at coming out with a schedule pretty soon also?
I think, Jimmy, from what I understand, NASCAR has already floated a several potential schedules to team owners and said, here's what we want to do. You know, NASCAR's schedule is a little more aggressive because there are twice as many events and a lot more logistics to try to work out. Can you go here? Can we get cars there? And so what NASCAR has said they want to do, and I love the fact we couldn't have, you know, for Jim France to be running NASCAR and Roger Penske to be running IndyCar, you couldn't have two people that are more understanding of what the competitors have to go through, what the numbers are in terms of cost, and how to do it the right way, and, you know, the perfect way for the fans and for everyone involved. So I think what NASCAR is trying to do is they're trying to work on getting it all nailed down. I thought, from what I understood, and from what's been leaked out by several team owners, that they would love to be able to start get back to Charlotte at the end of May, which would be a great way to kick off the season because people are going to want to come out. It's a race there where all the teams are. No one has to travel for the World 600 and then resume the season. But they want to run every race. In order to do that, with the time frame they have, they'll run some Wednesday night events. One scenario I saw was where they would run Wednesday night at Martinsville, Virginia. They'll run Wednesday night at Richmond, Virginia. They'll run doubleheaders at Michigan and Pocono and Dover. That's a Saturday and Sunday race. Now, the races will be a little shorter, but there'll be two of them, one Saturday, one Sunday, so the fans will be able to go there for the weekend and get an incredible amount, get their money's worth. Imagine if Tennessee played you know, home games on Saturday and Sunday. You know, because the schedule was short. Can you imagine? You know, the fans get to come to town and see two fabulous college football games. Well, that's what's going to happen in NASCAR and IndyCar as a doubleheaders. But Jimmy, to answer your question, there's not been a specific schedule put out yet, but they have talked to team owners, and I think they're very close.
Do you think that this could challenge some of these drivers as far as so you're talking about maybe multiple races in a week, right?
Oh, I mean, you could end up having a Wednesday night race and then having a Saturday and Sunday race. Yes.
I just wonder if there could be a wearing out effect of these drivers, how taxing that's going to be on them.
Well, it will be, but I think that, you know, when you look at it now, unlike it was back when Richard Petty and some of these guys were racing and they were in their mid 50s and before they were going to walk away. Now you got guys, you know, that are 22 years old. William Byron, 22 years old, driving for Rick Hendrick, and some of, you know, they're in their 20s, and the old guys are 40 or 41 or 42, and I think one of the oldest guys racing now on a regular basis is 45. So those guys are thinking about walking away. So yeah, it could be, but they stay in phenomenal shape. In the old days, you know, being in shape was only having one Pepsi with your potato chips, and instead of having two, now everybody is having fruit juice and pushing the electrolytes and water and working out and sleeping in hyperbaric chambers so they can stay in great shape.
Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville in the suburban shopping center just west of Westtown Mall. We'll get a break. We've got more with Doc coming up in a final segment to this first hour of Sports Talk. 656-9900. If you want to join the conversation, 656-9900 puts you on 99.1, the sports animal.
Because we have a transmitter and you don't. 99.1, the sports animal.
Segment to this first hour of Sports Talk with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Again, still answering the phones at their suburban shopping center location. They can deliver or they're offering curbside pickup. If you are a current customer, then they have your shoe size and information in their database, which makes it ordering so easy. So New Balance Knoxville here to help. And again, in the suburban shopping center just west of Westtown Mall. Let's get a call from Jim, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I hope you all are doing well and staying safe. You know, it's really interesting, Dr. Punch, that you were talking about the Indy 500, because that's what I wanted to talk about today and reminisce just a little bit. I've been thinking over the weekend. I happened to be watching some footage of the only IndyCar or the only Indianapolis 500 that I ever attended. It's still one of the greatest events I've ever been to. And in 2 years, it'll be 40 years since I went to that event. It was 1982. It turns out to be one of the most historic and controversial races. Listen to some of these names. Rick Mears was on the pole. A.J. Foyt was on the outside of row one. Mario Andretti was on the inside of row two. Big Al Unser was in the race. Johnny Rutherford was in the race. The only time in history where three brothers all qualified, the Whittington brothers, three of them. On the network, Jim McKay, the legendary Jim McKay doing the broadcast, Sam Posey doing the commentary, and Jackie Stewart doing commentary as well. Chris Economaki doing commentary from, you know, pit road. And then the only race that ever got red flagged before it got green flagged. And as they came down that front straightaway, the guy in the middle of row one, Kevin Kogan, his car goes smack dab into A.J. Foyt's car. And the race was stopped for an hour while they cleared the scene. And Mario Andretti was out of the race. He was the guy I wanted to win. He was the guy I went to see, among others. Doc, I'm wondering, have you ever seen any footage of that start?
Oh, I've seen that many times, Jim, and you conjure up great vision. I wasn't there, but I have seen that start. And as I got to know A.J. Foyt and would go, every time I would go to Indianapolis for my 27 Indy 500s that I've done, one of the first things I would do is after parking is go right to A.J.'s garage and go sit and have an ice cream bar with him. And we just sit and talk and reminisce. And because of our friendship over the years, and the good part is A.J. and I became friends, and he loved the fact that I was a medical doctor because he'd always like to run by his latest ailment. We would laugh and giggle, and he would show me his medication, and I would fuss at him about eating ice cream and fried whatever he was eating there in spite of all the medications he was taking. But we would talk racing. And if you ever wanted to raise his blood pressure, if you ever wanted to get him to just freak, I mean, I would worry if someone would mention that start in Kevin Kogan. And if he could reach you, he'd smack you if someone came in. Because he would sit on this little rounded padded bar stool, but he would go like he did the 1 year with Ari Leindach when I was interviewing AJ in Victory Lane at Texas. When he said, "Excuse me," he turns around and belts Ari Leindach across a flower plant. But yeah, that start that race, Kevin Kogan. You know, and for people who may not know, they start three wide at Indianapolis, and he was in the middle, and they have these turbochargers in those cars, and there's incredible horsepower. On the start of the race, if you're not careful, when you ramp that turbocharger up, there's so much torque, it'll just jerk the car sideways. And I guess Kogan, you know, just jumped in the throttle, and the car just jerked sideways, and he got, you know, Mario, it's unbelievable that red flag with all the carnage and you know was one that you know you I've seen others spin on the start. You know, I've seen some drivers that were we had a Roberto Guerrero was a pole sitter and did something like that on the start of the race when the car got so I was off of turn two, but that race there, those names you mentioned, you know, all those names, you know, I was around those guys for many years. And I remember when I didn't do the Indianapolis 500 until 1989. But when I did that race, we'd go in those meetings and you would talk about how Jim McKay, Sam Posey was still doing it. Jackie Stewart was not. Chris Economaki was around. He would come by. He was more like a writer and broadcaster emeritus. Jackie Stewart came to our television compound. He had gone over to Europe to run Jaguar for Formula One. But those guys were still around, and Sam Posey was still doing the telecast. So to me, it was like a kid in a candy store being around those announcers, much less being around all those AJ and Johnny Rutherford and just and Mario who are still around and still would stop and talk to anyone at any time in the garage area.
You know, one Mario.
Hey, Jim,
great.
We appreciate the call.
Thanks, guys.
All right. I'm so sorry. Please give us a shout back so you can continue that conversation. We are out of time for this hour. We've got more with Doc Punch coming up. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Hour number two of Sports Talk is next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk continues. With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch, his appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. If you have a question or comment for Doc, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Doc, one of the amazing stories to see, and we've seen it in so many different fashions. You've got the Fanatics website, which they had all the material that was there to make and continue to produce Phillies and Yankees and all kinds of MLB jerseys, but that's been set to the side as they're now making masks. You have Bauer, which does such a great job outfitting the National Hockey League, teams both in Canada and the United States. They are now making medical shields that they have started to distribute. They were thinking as many as 100,000 across Canada within this past week, and they also are hoping to help alleviate some of the need and concerns for the United States as their production continues. And NASCAR is getting in on the mix. What does it mean to you just to see the way the industry has got? They've got engineers that are volunteering their time so that they can work the five 3D printers that NASCAR owns, two of which were installed just a couple of months ago. But they're working about 18 hours a day to kick out as many medical shields and other items that can help with this incredible crunch and demand on personal protection equipment for our medical workers.
You know, John, it's just heartwarming that when you know that so many people, you know, not since World War II, when we had, as a nation, we felt an incredible threat to our survival, which we now have seen with this COVID-19. And we've seen so many people, you know, General Motors totally revamping their assembly lines to make ventilators, and Ford Motor Company making masks and shields. And you mentioned all the sports production companies, and now NASCAR, you know, their 3D printers. All the things they do that they were making, they were geared up to start making the parts, the common parts that we're going to use for the 2021 car, which everyone's been waiting on for NASCAR for 4 or 5 years. This car had been designed and developed, and all the owners said was going to really drive costs down for racing because these parts are going to be commonly prepared. But NASCAR basically about 3 weeks ago said, nope, we're going to put the car on the shelf. I know as much you guys need it, you guys want it, but we got other things that are a priority. That car will now not show up until 2022 because we're going to do this. And kudos to them. Big pat on the back for them to know that we need to be able to, you know, the masks are important, the shields are important, the ventilators are important, and everybody, I think, understanding that, and I think it's just the incredible unselfishness from a corporate standpoint, from a small business standpoint. We've seen on the news where people are making shields in their backyard, in the garages, and shipping out as fast as they can, you know, and it just reiterates to us that we have all been offered a very powerful and effective weapon to fight this, to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And that weapon is social distancing. You know, if we do our part and we stay home, we can make a difference. And the biggest thing we've learned also is the fact that there are a lot of people around the world, in our society and around the world, who have no symptoms but have tested positive as carriers of COVID-19. And you may not have a single symptom, but you can endanger others. And we've also learned that the largest at-risk population are those who are over 60 with underlying illnesses or conditions, and, of course, those that are immunocompromised. So even though you may not be symptomatic, it's important to stay home and stay in. So you, if you're one of those silent positives, they're calling them now, that are asymptomatic, you don't want to carry that somewhere else. So face shields, masks, all that everyone is pitching in to do, John, is because of that, we're going to get beyond this, and we're going to win, as so many politicians are saying, and hopefully we can minimize the spread or stop the spread completely of this horrible virus.
Let's get a call from Lynn, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Doc, I missed the first part of the show, and you may have mentioned this already, but I was on most of your feed yesterday with Twitter with you and Jesse, and I really, really enjoyed that. That was great.
Well, thank you.
And I hope you keep it live. I know you were talking about maybe doing it as a podcast, but I never did figure out how to get through to you guys. I had on my screen, it said, ask a question. And every time I punched the button, it knocked me offline. So I don't know what, I'll figure that out someday, I guess. But I really enjoyed it. It was great.
Well, thank you, Lynn. We had fun. We had. I'm not very technically inclined either when it comes to that. When I went, you know, they weren't computers around when I was going to college and medical school. So my daughter, fortunately, Jesse, you're talking about, we did a little, for folks who may not know, we did a little Twitter thing back and forth. And we called it Rolling with the Punches. And we basically told some stories. She currently works for NASCAR there at NASCAR's headquarters in Charlotte, and I'm here in Knoxville. And we shared some stories and then answered questions. And your buddy Rob Damastos presented a number of questions yesterday during that. Who shares the high school football broadcast with John on Friday nights. But it was fun. Lynn, it was fun to do that with Jesse. And it'll be up to her whether we do these anymore down the road. But I think we will.
Okay, encourage her to. One other thing, I didn't see all of the iRace yesterday. I was kind of in and out in that. But I've read a little bit about Bubba and Clint Bowyer's little deal. And, you know, but the thing that surprises me and I want to ask you about is that the Blue MU people pulled their sponsorship from him. Evidently, it happened even during the afternoon, yesterday afternoon. Now, I realize there's not nearly as many dollars involved with iRacing as there is with cup racing, but I was just surprised that they reacted that quickly to somebody's temper tantrum. What's your take on that?
Well, I've heard that. I have not seen from one source that I would, you know, that it's a definite. I've seen that they were going to do that. And for people I may not know, iRacing, virtual reality racing, they were from Motor Speedway yesterday for NASCAR. And the drivers are in their homes or garages or basements or wherever with their units, their iRacing seats and steering wheels and pedals. And Clint Bowyer early in the race said he got – his quote was, I got bubba'd. Meaning that, and he got hit, and there was contact all afternoon, and I think Clint Bowyer hit everything but the lottery yesterday. He, in fact, his crew chief during the broadcast said, told Clint that took that line out of Days of Thunder and said, Clint, I want you to go out and hit the pace car. You've hit everything else today, but Clint and Bubba got together. Clint is also on. He happened to have a camera by his seat where they could show him during the Fox telecast. So I think Clint's going to be working for Fox down the road, if I'm guessing correctly. And then that erupted into some Twitter conversation afterwards and some angry back and forth. But it's unfortunate. You know, it's really unfortunate that a sponsor would pull out as a result of something that happened in virtual racing. Now, there was also contact between Daniel Suarez and Kyle Larson, and both those drivers got parked. And the steward, the virtual reality racing stewards parked those guys and said they parked Suarez a week ago during the Texas race, and then they parked Kyle Larson and Daniel Suarez this week. So it's about as real as you can get. Tempers flaring, fenders damage, people bouncing off. It's Bristol. I mean, and that was happening all afternoon. But one bit of good news, interestingly enough, I don't know if you heard it, but Garrett Smithley, who's a very new driver coming on to the Cup Series. He got a sponsor for his iRacing car, his computer, basically his virtual reality car, and they're not only be on for iRacing, they've agreed to be on for the Brickyard 400 for his real Cup car. So maybe it goes the other way as well.
Well, I hope so. It's fun to watch, certainly when there's, you know, I was feeling bad yesterday because I wasn't at Bristol, which I normally am. But, you know, that was good to watch that. I've enjoyed it. I'm a little surprised that Fox is carrying that. I mean, it's, you know, it's just a game, really.
A
virtual game. But it surprises me, and I understand they're getting pretty good ratings on it.
They got huge numbers last week. They had it on FS1, one of their cable affiliate from the mothership Fox, and they got such big numbers. I think it blew everyone away because people are so sitting home, they're so desperate for sports or something that looks like sports, and the reality part of that for the NASCAR races. Now, the IndyCar team last week, NBC did not take the IndyCar race a week ago. It was only on IndyCar.com, and then they saw the big numbers that Fox got. I'm assuming that's what happened, the huge numbers that Fox got with people viewership, and they said, we're going to have our IndyCar race this week that's going to be airing on NBCSN. And then Fox this week decided, okay, if the numbers are that big and we're struggling for programming that's going to get people to watch, we're going to put – and they put that race from Bristol yesterday – on both Fox and FS1, as well as some of their other platforms, their other apps. And so it was airing simultaneously on multiple platforms on Fox. And I can't wait to see what kind of numbers they got, because it was like Bristol. It was an absolute slugfest. But, you know, you have Mike Joy calling it. You had Jeff Gordon there. You had Darrell Waltrip doing the invocation from his home in Franklin, Tennessee. You had the national anthem being done from L.A. It was so well produced and so well done that, you know what, people want to watch. You know, and here's the other thing. I'm going to add this. I think people are so eager to produce, because of all that we've been through here, that when this quarantine is over, you're going to see people pouring in the sporting events. Which is, you know, pouring into restaurants, hopefully pouring into venues and to watch sports, and it's auto racing or baseball or whatever. And I think that's going to be good. I think people are going to, sort of like what happened after World War II. People said, we got to get out, we got to be able to enjoy life. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And you can see now people really want to get on and watch, which was reflected by the ratings that Fox got last week.
Lynn, we do appreciate the call. Let's say hello to Johnny. Why don't we go ahead and get a break? If you have a question or comment for Doc, 656-9900, 656-9900, *990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Again, Doc's appearance is brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. They're still answering the phone at their Suburban Shopping Center location just west of Westtown Mall. They can deliver, or they're offering curbside pickup. If you're a current customer, they have your shoe size and information in their database, which should make ordering A-OK and incredibly easy. New Balance Knoxville, here to help. More with Doc Punch coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
99.1 The Sports Animal. It sounds just as good on your car radio as it does while you're working. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Talk continues. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch of ESPN, as he joins us for his weekly visit. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. New Balance, still answering the phone at their Suburban Shopping Center location, and they are available to deliver new shoes as well as you go by for curbside pickup. New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center just west of Westtown Mall. We've got more with Doc coming up, but right now we want to check in with Bob Yarborough, our friend from our sister station, News Talk 98.7. Bob, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, John. I'm doing well. How are you guys? Sounds like everything's going okay for a Monday.
Happy to say so.
Yes, beautiful day. And what we've got at the COVID-19, the latest on the headlines regarding this throughout our community and across the state. And we'll start across the state with the Tennessee Department of Health report this afternoon. 3,802 COVID-19 cases in the state. That's up from 3,633 cases previously reported. 352 people hospitalized, 65 fatalities connected to the virus in the state, and 356 people have recovered from COVID-19. I've got a county-by-county breakdown of some of the counties in our area I'll go through in just a moment. Knox County Health Department's released the local numbers for our county. 119 confirmed coronavirus cases in this county. That's up from 85 on Friday. 16 hospitalizations, one fatality connected to the virus, and 70 recovered cases. Again, that basically means that the person suffering from COVID-19 has been released from isolation. Now, let's give you an idea of just what's going on as far as other counties around Knox County. Anderson County is reporting 10 cases of COVID-19. That's the same as late last week. Blount County is up to 38 cases. That's an increase of 2 since the last reporting numbers. Campbell County is at 5. That's the same. Cock County at 1. Hamilton County, just to give you an idea of what's going on in Chattanooga, they're at 83 cases, plus 9 since the last reported numbers. Jefferson County is up to 7 cases. Loudoun County's at 13. Sevier County at 16. And the counties with the most cases of COVID-19 throughout the state continue to be in the middle section and the western section of the state. And that would be Davidson County with 819 cases and Shelby County with 766 cases. We got a lot of information regarding COVID-19. Again, it's being strongly recommended that if you get out in public to go to the grocery store or do anything else out, you wear some type of mask. The CDC is recommending that, and local health experts are as well. But we've got plenty of information regarding the latest on COVID-19 at newstalk987.com. John?
All right, Bob, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. And so that's Bob Yarborough from News Talk 98.7, and you can check him out online at newstalk987.com. Let's get back to the phones. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch. It's Johnny who's up next. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Yeah, doing good. I actually live up in Richmond, Virginia. I grew up in East Tennessee and listen to you guys and have probably listened to you for 10 or 15 years, and I always wanted to ask Dr. Punch if he ever had the chance to meet or maybe even knows the original doctor of NASCAR, Dr. Don Tarr.
You know, I did not. I did not meet. I knew Don. I knew who Don Tarr was, but I never got a chance to meet him or speak with him, no.
Okay. I was just curious. He's actually my uncle, and it just crossed my mind a few times if you'd ever had a chance to meet him. He retired in the early 70s and became a country doctor up in Johnson County and takes care of the good people up there. He's still alive and doing well, and just something I'd always wanted to call in and ask, see if Dr. Punch had ever had a chance to talk to Dr. Tarr. And he actually did some – I was reading about him, was one of the first people, maybe the first person, to actually have a camera in the car at Daytona and did some pit crew TV type stuff. So, anyway, I was just curious.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the name and I knew who he was, and unfortunately have not had a chance. I need to reach out sometime and just be able to, I'd love to visit with him sometime. Glad he's still around and still practicing. Yeah, I know who he is. It's certainly a part of NASCAR history.
Yep, sounds good. We'll holler at him sometime. Good talking to you guys. Take care down there.
You as well, Johnny. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go next to Randy. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Randy.
Hello, John and Jimmy and Dr. Punch. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well. Hope good, you Randy. Are.
Yes, doing good. Hey, I don't know about you guys, and I'm sure you are. I'm sure you're ready to hear the crack of the bat and the pop of the glove like I am. I want to see some baseball live, and I want to watch it on TV. But what I wanted to talk to you today, Dr. Punch, as you know, I like sports science quite a bit. You know, the gold standard is not 2020 vision anymore. Everybody's wanting the vision that Ted Williams had, 2010, 2015, anything better than 2020. Skill position players in football, about all baseball players are wanting 2010, 2015. And a lot of guards in basketball are wanting that too. It was once said that Bob Cousy, of course, this was his peripheral vision. I remember reading an SI back in 1990 that he could look straight ahead. This reporter for SI was talking to him, and he placed something, an object, on a coffee table that was diagonally back so many degrees, and he said Cousy could see it. And he didn't peek or nothing. I mean, he said Cousy could see it plain, whereas, you know, nobody else could see, would be able to see that. But everybody's wanting to get laser surgery now, and the gold standard now is, you know, pretty much, of course, Ted Williams had uncorrected 2010. That means the slightest little letter that you and me can see at 10 feet, he could see it at 20 feet. And, gosh, he was just such an incredible athlete with his reflexes and eyes. He wasn't that fast, but, you know, in the war, John Glenn was his wingman. And John Glenn, before he became an astronaut, said Ted Williams was an excellent pilot. He had a lot of kills. He got shot down, and he knew how to swim. They put him through a lot of pre-flight training, you know, like swimming through flaming fuel, obstacle runs, hand-to-hand boxing. His boxing instructor in pre-flight training said, before he went to Korea, of course, he was in World War II also, but before he went to Korea, his boxing instructor in hand-to-hand said, if you make it back from this war alive and you get tired of baseball, come see me. I'll make you boxing champion of the world. His footwork wasn't real good, but his eye, his reflexes, and, you know, just hand-eye coordination was off the charts. Now, that's how good an athlete is that he was. And what do you think about all these
people? He lost out 5 years of his career based on military service, which was off the charts. He's also in the Fisherman Hall of Fame, in the Fishing Hall of Fame.
Yes. Could you imagine the endorsement money he'd make today? He had a contract with Sears back in the day for fishing boats, fishing gear, hunting supplies, because he was a great hunter. I saw it there. He had hunting supply contract with them for hunting, fishing, and baseball equipment, gloves, balls, bats, and so forth. Those three sporting good items. Could you imagine the kind of money he'd make in endorsements today with his name on everything like that? Golly, that'd be astronomical.
So, yep. Doc, you have a question?
I was going to ask Doc, what do you think about all these people wanting to get this vision? I mean, 2020 is not the gold standard anymore. What do you think about these people wanting to get 2015 and 2010 and all that?
Well, I know a lot of race car drivers that even back in the 90s when LASIK first came out, that came to me and said, hey, my vision's not bad, but at 200 miles per hour, it could be better. And the good thing is, you mentioned about Ted and the is a lot of race car drivers, they did some crude testing, but the best test for their peripheral vision is how well they could dodge an accident that was a turn or two turns away, and they're going 200 miles an hour, because a lot of race car drivers will tell you that even though you're watching where you're going, you're really driving out the driver's side window. You're looking way ahead of you, because at 200 miles an hour, you're going a football field a second at the speed. And so you better be looking way ahead, but your peripheral vision is what keeps you safe, keeps you out of an accident that's a half a mile ahead or maybe three-fourths of a mile ahead. And those guys had that. But I remember talking to some of the greats, some of the Hall of Famers today, who said, can I get this? In fact, one driver who was at the top of his game called me back then and said, tell me about LASIK. And I started researching for him way back in the early 90s. And that's the reason I went and had it. I had the surgery because I told him I was so impressed, and it was one surgeon at the time in Charlotte, North Carolina, who was doing it, and I went to him, and we did the surgery, and then like about 2 years later, we had a driver who had it, and I actually taped, with everyone's permission, a segment of that surgery and showed it on ESPN. And here's the thing, is we're not really sure what you're going to get, but most of those guys got 2015 or even a little bit better. You know, I was thrilled to get back to 2020, given what I wore. But you're right. I mean, And if you can, the surgery and the technology is so significant today and so far advanced and continues to advance every day that if you can get that kind of vision, you know, why not? Now, of course, down the road, you may end up having to wear some adaptive glasses or corrective lenses as you grow and get older, which I've done. But still, I mean, why not do it? Especially now, I'm not sure if your vision was 20/10, could you hit the ball like Ted Williams, you think?
No. Well, I might see it blow by me.
Yeah, I could see that umpire signaling the third strike on me pretty easily, but I don't think I could have swung the bat like that. So vision was great, but there's also a lot of natural ability there with those kind of incredible talents.
Ted Williams was said he could see the seams. He could pick up the seams on the ball as it came at him. But hey, Doc, we appreciate it, and that had to be really fun to take over social media the way you did with Jesse. And are you going to do any rolling with the punches this upcoming weekend?
I think we'll probably do some of these. We've had a lot of input from people around the country who were watching, who got on and listened, and we thought about doing it a while back, but people want to hear stories and want to hear those kind of things. And I told Jesse if she wants to do it, I'd love to do it because it gives us a great chance to talk about. You know, IndyCar races that I've done, people I've been around, college football games, coaches, tell some stories of some things that have happened pregame with coaches or halftime, some funny things, some humorous things. You know, and John, I'll say this. The reason I would do it is because growing up, I was always a fan of Paul Harvey's stories about the rest of the story. And I love being able to take some of those things. You may have seen this big football game or this national championship, but what you don't know that happened behind the scene was this, and that's what we'd like to do is tell some of those stories.
That's fantastic. Hey, Doc, we always appreciate it. Shouldn't be lost that it's more important than ever, but happy Easter. This is a huge week, and hopefully everybody remains safe and sound.
Well, I hope so, and happy Easter to you guys and all those listening. I hope you stay safe and you stay well and we stay home and – you know, and you worship in whatever way comes best for you, but we also remember the first responders, our medical people, and those that are out there on the front lines trying to keep us, keep everyone safe and risking their lives in order to take care of those that have been affected. So hopefully with our prayers as we approach this Easter Sunday.
Doc, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And so that is Dr. Jerry Punch. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville in their suburban shopping center just west of Westtown Mall. Still answering the phone. They can deliver or they are offering curbside pickup. If you're a current customer, they've got your shoe size and information in their database that makes ordering even easier. New Balance Knoxville, here to help.